In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, what a way to start your vicar year, huh? Your first weekend in our midst, and what do the scripture readings give you? The Ten Commandments, the baptismal life, and Jesus speaking about a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. My goodness, what sort of message then do these scripture readings foreshadow, Nicholas, as you begin a year of vocational training among us? Well, the message is same as it ever was, same as it is, same as it ever will be. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. For repentance and forgiveness run in that order. When you confuse them, you confuse the one who hears them. Living in Christ does not mean first telling a Christian that their sins are forgiven so that they can stop sinning and live an upright life. That is putting the cart before the horse, and you will be daily tempted to say it. In fact, you will hear what people say, and some people will tell you things like they have told me for many years. Pastor, I would love to come to your church. However, I can't come to your church. Well, is there a schedule conflict or something? Oh, no. You see, I have to get right with God. I have to make my peace with God, and then I can come to church. Because church is only about people who have their act together, who have everything just so. My life's a mess, Reverend. You really expect me to come to your church like that? Yes. Because if you look around you, or when you meet everyone on their way out tonight, you will discover that they, like you and like me, there's not a person here that has their act together. And that's totally okay, because Jesus has their act together. And that's why they're here. You'll even try to use scripture readings like today's epistle reading to prove that, well, it's better that you do get your act together first before God has anything to do with you. That's not how Paul wants that to be used. That's not why the Holy Spirit had that written that way. What's worse is, like all of us here, we tend to carry around this thing in our hip pocket, and it's called the moral measuring tape. My dad was a lumberyard manager, and he never went anywhere without carrying around measuring tape. That and brown jersey gloves and a pencil, usually a carpenter's pencil or an Eversharp, for example, because he was always marking lines and he was always measuring things. For Christians, we love to measure everyone else's holiness to see whether or not they hold up to our holiness. And we discover that, oh, wouldn't you know it? Our moral measuring tape is so perfect that everyone else's righteousness is going to fall short of mine. And in fact, Jesus is going to give us a great big pat on the back and say, aren't you really holy? The thing about this is that non-Christians tend to see this sort of behavior in Christians, and Christians never seem to see it among ourselves. We might see it in other Christians, and we might get a little upset about it, but other Christians see it and say, if one acts that way, they're all going to act that way. Why is it this way? You've seen the holier-than-thou, smug, self-righteous types on television and in movies all the time. I'll give you two examples, and they're going to show how old I am. And I know what you're saying. Well, you're still a young one, Pastor. I guess I am, yeah. The church lady from Saturday Night Live, played by Dana Carvey, who, by the way, grew up a Lutheran. He ought to know. And Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. I know, they're two fake characters. One is even a cartoon character, doubly fake. But poor old Ned Flanders, he's so stuck on himself and how happy he is when he isn't, and how he's always doing the right thing even when he isn't, and most of the time he's not, and he likes to attach God's name to it all the time. And it's this way so bad for Ned that he can't see the forest for the trees. At least the church lady is more open about it. She's more open about being holier than you are. She knows it. She believes it. And she's going to make sure that you know it too. You're nothing. She's everything. She's got you right here. Isn't that special? Now, granted, these are two stereotypes. So, if you want to see a non-stereotype, you want to go see a smug, self-righteous, hypocritical Christian, go look in the mirror. Better still, stare at me a little longer, because I'm one too. The minute you start the back pat, the self back pat, about how better you are than anyone else, and they are not as good as you, that's when you need to run to the mirror, and not just a mirror in your home, but the mirror of today's Old Testament reading, the Ten Commandments. And believe what Holy Scripture has to say about you in the Ten Commandments. Well, Pastor, I did the math the other day, and I discovered that I only broke three commandments. 70% success rate. Pretty good, huh? Man, that's a D. And on the Lord's scorecard, it's either 100% or it's zero. There's no partial scores. So, how's that working out for you? The Ten Commandments. Yeah, you're dead. Dead to sin. But Paul also says you're alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where did I come back alive again? How do I have this living, this life, this new life? Right there. The font. That's where you became alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because everything that Jesus has for you, he poured on you. Gave it to you. Cost him his life. He shed his blood. What does it cost you? Nothing. If you can stand still long enough for him to work on you as one being given to by God. And I get it, because the sinful nature still clings to you because you're on this side of the grave. You're expecting to see some sort of a line graph that goes up, 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 up. Oh no, the line graph goes down, 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 like Wall Street the last 3 years or so. Oh yeah, there's occasional days of profit taking. There may be a day when we did a little better than we usually do, although that's still a zero day. But ultimately, where does the line graph end when it goes down, down, down with the occasional bump up or two? The grave. But yet, a Christian does not die when they die, because he or she has already died at the font. Temporal death is not supposed to scare us, yet it really does scare us. Because it's the unknown. It's the one thing that you and I really haven't gone through yet in life. Is death. It's an unknown thing. And when you've never done anything before, man, it's scary. Did I tell you about my first vicar I ever had? He's standing right, sitting right in front of me. If you don't think I'm scared to death about this task, because I have a say in whether or not this man gets hands laid on him and a stole wrapped around his neck. It's a major league responsibility. And I'm not lying to you when I tell you I'm scared to death, Nick. But you know what he told me about the first or second time we talked on the phone? Well, I've never been a vicar before, Pastor. So that makes two of us. That's the little bump up on the line graph all the way down, dude. But I'm not scared of death. Because Jesus burst forth from that 3-day prison of the grave. Not scared of it. In Christ, in your baptism, yeah, you're dead to sin. But you're also alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a gift that was given you. And it's a gift that is opened every day of your life, one tiny fiber at a time. Imagine taking your entire life from baptism to the grave. And every day you get to open a little sliver of it. And you know what's inside that present. You know what it is. Eternity. That's what it is. It's already yours, in your lap. It was given to you. So you have to open it up. You open it up. Just one little piece at a time. And you get to see a little glimmer of it every day. It's the fullness, but not the fullness yet. And as the saying goes, the struggle is real. How you behave, beloved, between your baptism and judgment day is something to pay heed to and struggle with. St. Paul agrees, and he's no liar. These words are written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's not the most important thing. Huh? Yeah, not the most important thing. Nicholas Sinatra is here to see the most important thing. It's the most important thing I get to see every day as a pastor. It's living, working on the front lines in the battle between eternal life and eternal death. Over the next 12 months, Nicholas, you will see and hear things that might shock you, but they shouldn't shock you, because where sin and grace comes together, stuff happens. You are among redeemed sinners like yourself. It's no big deal. The big deal is where you get to listen to people and you get to apply the law when they need to hear the law, and then you get to apply the gospel when they need to hear the gospel. And you remember that the law is not the last word. That's the penultimate word. The ultimate word is you're forgiven. It's a word that's readily on our tongues. You'll be taught all these things and more, but even better, you will teach us. Because you have gifts that I don't have. And I'm going to have fun seeing what those gifts are so that I can encourage you to put them to use in the Lord's church. The other cool thing about Vicarage is you will develop relationships here in this place that will last you the rest of your life. You will learn to love Christ's people in a place. The ministry of the gospel does not happen in a vacuum. It happens where death and life contend, and that combat's stupendous. You will get to know and love Christ's people in this place, and as you embrace them, they will embrace you. I've only been here not quite 18 months, and they have embraced me and my family. It's if we've known each other all our lives. The most important thing, though, too, is that we hope that you will go back in a year's time. Well, actually, I'm lying. We hope you won't go back. We hope that we send you out of here, and we really won't want to send you out of here, but we have to, because they'll have words with me in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But we hope that you leave us kicking and screaming and saying, I don't want to do another year of this. This sitting in a classroom. This writing papers, this filling out all the paperwork, because let me tell you, your fourth year is filling out a lot of paperwork. because you've gotten a taste of what happens to be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. And once you have a taste of that, you're going to say, I want the whole thing. God willing, that's going to come. But for now, you're going to do like we all do if we have Costco memberships, and you're going to have your Costco-like free sample. We've all had lunch at Costco if we have Costco memberships. And while you go along the way, there's one other thing to remember. Nicholas, you're dead to sin. That's why we wear black, brother. We're dead to sin, not because we like Johnny Cash, and there's nothing wrong with Johnny Cash. But you're also alive to God in Christ Jesus. The message St. Paul teaches is the life that you and I and everyone here live. And now you're ready for your front row seat. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.